wrongdoing to be condemned, righteousness to be exalted. October 4th, 1903, typed. I have a message to bear to those who occupy responsible positions as physicians. My brethren, the Lord has committed to each of you a work which is plainly outlined in His Word. Those who walk with God are prepared to call wrongdoing by its right name. Sin is sin, whether practiced by teachers, medical missionaries, ministers, or other workers. Those who discern unchristlike traits in the professed Christians occupying positions of responsibility must use great plainness of speech in pointing out these evils, instead of apparently continuing in fellowship with such men because they are standing in high places. It is on account of their position that I am instructed to say to our brethren, great plainness of speech is required. Those who are Christians only in name are not to be sustained and upheld and strengthened in their positions of grave responsibility by their brethren. For Satan works through these sinners in Zion to bring in strife and contention and difficulties which make God's people a reproach and a shame to Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul gives to Timothy a most solemn charge. I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 5. Sound doctrine, Titus 2, verse 1, is Bible truth, standard truth for the time in which we live, truth that is always to be kept before the people. Truth that is adapted to promote increased piety and devotion, confirming God's people in the most holy faith. Sound doctrine means much to the receiver, and it means much too to the teacher, the minister of righteousness. For it means that the laborer shall be either true or untrue to his responsibility as the Lord's messenger evangelist in any line of service, wherever the gospel may be preached. Gospel medical missionary workers, as faithful representatives of their leader, are to bear a message from God. If among this class of workers there should be found those who are not sanctified through the truth, those who are unable to work the works of truth and righteousness, but who in word and act dishonor the truth and lower the standard that should be elevated to represent the medical missionary work in its purity, then faithful work is to be done by God's ministers. Like Timothy, they are to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. All our medical workers are to use their capabilities in an earnest, righteous way, that there may go forth the impression that the ministry of the Word and the medical missionary work are in reality one united work. Some will need to be watched, lest their natural propensities overrule and cause them to manifest self instead of the Christian example that should always be prominent. When such persons do not labor in accordance with the will and way of God, when in nearly every business transactions they fail of elevating the gospel standard, their associates are not to keep silent. They are to say something to change the evil, lest they become implicated with the ones who have done great injury to the cause and work of God. Every Christian is a standard bearer of righteous principles. Let there be no lowering of the standard, no countenancing of wrong movements. It was while men slept that tares were sown among the wheat. It is the unwatchful, sleeping condition of God's servants that implicates them with their associates in guilt. The only safe and righteous way to escape being an unfaithful watchman is to watch, and not allow to continue the evils that can be checked. To sustain by silence a work that God cannot approve is to abet Satan's work, and this results in the loss of souls. No one should be at ease until he has done all that it is possible for him to do to counterwork evil. Let there be much praying. Let every missionary be on guard, doing all in his power to counterwork deceptive, evil influences. If faithful work were done, even to a limited degree, it would tell on the side of right. If the senses were keen, quickened, and illuminated by the Holy Spirit, wrongdoing would be met and counterworked before it found standing room, and many of the objectionable devisings of men would be arrested. Thus, the widespread influence of evil would be circumscribed.
Let the first blow be struck to arrest the evils that ministers and medical missionaries have seen, but have not corrected. The Lord now calls for decided action in order that the gospel medical missionary work shall not be entirely choked by the tares that the enemy has sown. All our conferences need not be leavened with the objectionable sentiments that have been expressed. Let not one wrong thing be passed by uncorrected. The Christian medical missionary work is to bear the signature of God and not of man who is not under God's supervision. Oh, that every man who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ would disrobe himself of the civilian's dress and, for the sake of the Christian name, for Christ's sake, put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. Strange work has been done to bring honor to the character of man and not the character of God. For the sake of Christ, let matters be brought up to the level of the Christian standard. To lean upon the arm of the law is a disgrace to Christians. Yet this evil has been brought in and cherished among the Lord's chosen people. Worldly cut garments, worldly ordained principles have been stealthily introduced until in practice we are becoming like the Laodiceans, half-hearted, because so much dependence is placed on lawyers and legal documents and agreements. Such a condition of things is abhorrent to God. Could each one who claims to be a believer in the message for this time multiply himself and his means a thousandfold? We as a people should not be able by our good deeds to retrieve the workings of the last 25 years. The guilt of the past is resting upon us. A thorough, complete reformation is now needed in all our institutions. We must arouse and, by the Lord's help, strive to retrieve the past if possible. The very vitals of God's people are being eaten away by the spirit of colonization and of commercialism. We are losing our distinguishing characteristics as Christians. The works of the enemy have been enthroned in many of our institutions where business is done in accordance with worldly principles which have come in through unconsecrated men. A thorough reformation must now take place. Soul saving. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Colossians 4, verse 5. Precious time that has passed into eternity should have been improved. The actions of the professed religious world are to be no criterion for those to whom God, in His great mercy, has given advanced light. We can see that the world is in a great moral conflict. Unwarned souls are perishing in their sins, while many of our churches remain content to do little or nothing to let the full light of the gospel, the light of true medical missionary work, shine into the hearts of men and women, that they may behold the way to heaven. We are failing to gain access to souls. Christ, the great teacher, was accused of eating with publicans and sinners. He did eat with them, but it was for the purpose of letting the light of truth shine forth through the revelation of a godly character. His example, always high and noble and pure, was in marked contrast with the example of the Pharisees, the priests, and the rulers of his day. They disregarded the work that he had commissioned them to do. Christ met the people where they were, at the guest table, in the streets, by the lakeside, in the synagogues and the temple, and on the crowded thoroughfares of travel. In these places were found the multitudes who were willing to admit that they were sinners. In their hearts,
Christ could sow the seeds of truth, and after his resurrection and ascension, these seeds, scattered in almost every place, sprang up under the teaching of the apostles, and in one day, 5,000 were converted. Just before his ascension, Jesus came and spake unto his disciples, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. This commission is ours. Not all have the same work to do, but to every man is given his work. To no one man is committed the whole work. No man is to exalt himself or any other man, for whatever man's position may be, he is not free from human defects, and he should guard against self-exaltation, envy, jealousy, selfishness, covetousness. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons with God. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 25. Love to God and to man.
The standing of persons in the Christian Church, their rights and privileges as church members, is in no wise dependent on their outward condition spiritually. In God's sight, their acceptance is dependent on their union with Christ Jesus, by whom alone they are enabled to do right, and to whom they are always amenable. Accountable to God they are every moment. Love to God as supreme always, and love to their fellow men is the whole duty of the fallen race. In answer to the lawyer's question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. In these commandments are comprehended all the principles of the Decalogue. Perfection of human character is revealed in supreme love to God and unselfish love to man. The Lord calls upon those who are truly converted, who watch and pray, for the controversy between truth and error will increase in intensity. To everyone who gives himself unreservedly to Christ is assigned a post where he may engage in active service. To us, as God's chosen people, has been given special light. This light is constantly increasing and is to shine forth through the gospel ministry and through gospel medical missionary workers. The time is at hand when the case of every soul will soon be decided. The Bible is to be the man of our counsel. No man is to be treated as lord and dictator in regard to gospel medical missionary work, for God will not endorse any work that leads any man to engage in commerce in our institutions after the manner of the world, and to make the laws of the land his defense. Yet the Lord has instructed me that this very thing is being done. God will leave such men in the hands of the enemy, that they may be spoiled either through success or through failure. Success will bring them to certain ruin. There is need of most thorough works being done in our conferences. God is calling for missionaries who have not upon them the stamp of the specious deceptions of the enemy. Missionaries who have not by contract bound themselves to any other human agencies. When our medical missionaries should have been wide awake, they were asleep, and consequently, the enemy has established himself in the midst of them. Many are Christians only in name,
And when these professed Christian missionaries should have been on their guard, as men of God's appointment, protesting, counterworking, earnestly praying that the Lord God of heaven would work by His Holy Spirit to counteract the movements that were being made by men who trusted in the arm of flesh, they failed of doing their duty. Physicians have cherished lax principles and have stooped to follow worldly methods. Their inferior piety has enfeebled the church and impaired its usefulness. Our influence. No true Christian physician or minister of the gospel will feel that he is partially his own and that he can do as he pleases. At the present time, some clear-sighted, clean-hearted men are almost neutral in their influence, but they cannot long remain in this position without losing ground spiritually. They will begin to reflect the character of the man of sin instead of reflecting the character of the meek and lowly one who has said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 29. Love to God is pure, fragrant, a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. The masterly spirit of self, which many manifest, is abhorrent to Him, for it leads to all kinds of actions that savor of evil. God's cause is now in need of the protesting, counteracting influence that Christ has always demanded of His people. Let there be no delay, for the message that I am bearing is from God. While He has been calling upon His people to come out from the world and to be separate and distinct, not touching that which is unclean, human agencies have been counterworking His work by linking up with worldly men, cultivating the spirit of commerce, and depending on worldly lawyers and worldly methods. God turns away in disgust from these men who have made themselves one with the world.
Those who have sinned against great light are not left without a message of warning and mercy. God says to them, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 3, verse 15 to 22. This is the testimony born concerning the church at Laodicea. This church had been faithfully instructed. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." Colossians 4, verse 12, 13. Much excellent labor was bestowed upon the Laodicean church. To them was given the exhortation, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. But the church did not follow up the work begun by God's messengers. They heard, but they failed to appropriate the truth to themselves and to carry out the instruction given them.
The result that followed is the result always sure to follow the rejection of the Lord's warnings and entreaties. Some to whom the Lord has been sending messages for years have clearly understood and have magnified every word of encouragement, but have treated as if they were of naught the cautions, the warnings, and the reproofs. This wholeness is to be dreaded. This is why the Jewish nation did not receive Christ. They rejected the Bible prophecies given in regard to his coming and chose their own way in accordance with their human judgment. Their spiritual condition need not be explained by us, for Christ has given to his servant John a clear representation of their condition. God calls upon those who have heard his message of warning for this time, as given in the 14th of Revelation, to reveal a showing far different from that which was revealed by the Jewish nation. He desires his people to come to their senses and to represent in their lives genuine faith and spirituality. Many are assimilating with the world and leaving upon human minds the impression that the special messages of warning that have called us out from the world are secondary to the medical missionary work. The Lord calls for a decided change in every health institution that has been established, that has fallen into worldly practices. Let God's workers now come out from the world and be separate. There is to be a full understanding as to who is on the side of Christ. He that is not with me, said Christ, is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12, verse 30. Many have fulfilled this saying to the letter. Lax views as to what constitutes truth for this present time are the result of losing the demonstrated character of the truth. As the result, there exists an inferior piety by which the church is enfeebled and its usefulness impaired. Men and women have come to believe that they are partially their own, and that they have a right to take themselves into their own hands and to do as they please, following their own judgment and planning to carry out their ideas as they may choose. Those who believe that they have this right are on Satan's platform.
No one really has a neutral influence. Those who, in an effort to be neutral, manifest no positive hostility toward Christ and their brethren, they think that they are rendering a service to God, but such a thought is inspired by Satan. Not the least advantage is to be given to our foe. Upon the minds of those who are endeavoring to stand in a neutral position, unnumbered satanic agencies are working. The first act of selfishness opens the way for the enemy's forces to enter. Let us use none of our influence on Satan's side of the controversy. It is a sad fact that many who are professedly standing on Christ's platform are doing the enemy's work. Christ declares, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon. All your talents, all your capabilities are mine. I have entrusted you with gifts, which are to be put to the very best use as consecrated offerings to me." See Matthew 6, verse 24. If every man who has influence could ascend some mount of vision from which he could behold all his works as Christ beholds them when he declares, "I know thy works." Revelation 3, verse 15. If the laborer could trace from cause to effect every objectionable word and act, the sight would be more than he could bear. My brother, at the time when you cherish feelings of self-exaltation, because of the thought that you are a great worker in God's cause, when satisfied with your judgment, you gathered in means and appropriated it as if you had created it. When you reveal the spirit of selfishness in different movements that for years have led you away from Christ, away from the truth of heavenly origin, at the time when you took pleasure in being freed from various responsibilities in order that you might work out some special schemes that Christ has condemned. If at these times you could have seen the full results of the influence you were exerting, results for which you are responsible, you would have been appalled. Consider these matters. Trace them out from cause to effect. The influences set in operation by our words and deeds are like many threads which bind us in intimate relationship, either with God or with the world, and which connect mind with mind, heart with heart, moral influence with moral influence. God is fully acquainted with the multitudinous effects of certain influences. Even at times when man is most certain that certain traits of his character are unobserved, there are going forth influences that are a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. As soon as these influences cease to be decidedly good morally, they are decidedly bad. And the longer they are exerted, the greater swells the tide of good or of evil. The greater is the number of souls led to heaven or to perdition. We are not to do a particle less than all we can do to advance Christ's kingdom, in the same spirit and manner in which he worked. He holds every man responsible for working in the right way. Let no one suppose that because he is constantly busy, he demonstrates his fidelity. For Satan is constantly busy, and is helping those who are endeavoring to labor in accordance with their own devisings. Idolatry of self, of my plans, my devisings, Christ looks upon with contempt. Only those who work for Him in a Christ-like spirit and manner, because of their love for Him and their desire to please Him, only those who refuse to take to themselves any praise and glory will receive the approbation of heaven.